Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Manager Pat Murphy has noticed. So what's his coaching method to try to get to stop this?
You know, when he swings at a breaking ball in the dirt, I want to tase him. You know, I don't know if that's legal, but... You know, that just, he doesn't need to do that, but he...
Yeah, and that's one way to, you know, straighten out your player. Have a little zzzz.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a good morning to you. Vince is in New York picking up his daughter from school. Michelle Richards is here. Hi, Michelle.
Morning.
Thanks for coming back.
Of course.
Debbie Lazga's got your roads. Adam Roberts in the newsroom. And Greg, the Pancake Hill, is handling sports for us today. Thank you, Greg, for doing that. So a huge gathering tonight. 1,100 people or so will be at this event tonight. The gala for the opening of the Baird Center. The new convention center is now officially opening today. There's going to be a ribbon cutting later this morning. When we toured it, Vince and I toured it like maybe a month ago when they were still kind of doing some work on it, 2 months ago. And we got the tour from Marty Brooks, who you've seen on TV. He just talked to Mercure the other day. He's the Wisconsin Center District President and CEO. And he talked about, you know, what the ribbon cutting will be like.
We'll have the official ribbon cutting with all the dignitaries and, you know, speeches about how wonderful Milwaukee it is and blah,
so
blah, blah.
So you're going to have the big scissors.
Well, there will be a lot of big scissors, yes. I hopefully I will be given a set.
So I'm always fascinated by this. Like, who gets to be up front and cut the ribbon or give the speech? Or, you know, there's only so many pairs of scissors, but there's a lot of people that want to be seen, right, in that ribbon cutting today. So I straight up asked him what he thought.
Which lawmaker, and be honest, which lawmaker will you roll your eyes the most to if they stand up there with scissors?
You didn't do anything. This guy.
Let me tell you.
Every that alderman?
Every politician, every person in the private and public sector has been extremely supportive of this project. There were many times along the way where things could have stopped, and people were really on board to green light this project. So I have no criticisms other than to say it's been great.
Well done. Well done.
Professional.
He says he's full of, well, we'll let you go on that one. Anyway, congratulations to Marty Brooks and the crew there for the big gala happening tonight. Idina Menzel is going to be singing for that huge event tonight. So pretty cool that the Baird Center finally opened. And by the way, you, the taxpayer who helped pay for that giant new expansion, can tour it yourself on Saturday. They're going to have it open to the public. It is 6:14. Okay, now we know when the Packers play. What does it mean? Greg has sports next.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Every Sunday, Monday, and a few Thursdays, starting in September, going through hopefully February, are now occupied for you. The Packers schedule is officially out. Fans are already making their travel plans.
Following a week one matchup Friday night against the Eagles in Sao Paulo, Brazil on September 6th, the Packers return home for the home opener against the Colts in week two, one of eight noon kickoffs on the schedule. Packers fans are likely to invade Nashville Sunday, September 22nd in week three against the Titans. Other marquee games include a visit from the San Francisco 49ers in Week 12, followed by a Thanksgiving night matchup against the Miami Dolphins in Week 13. In total, the Packers will be featured in primetime on five occasions. The bye week is scheduled for Week 10. Greg Matzik, WTMJ Sports.
Yeah, and the Packers will play three preseason games, two on the road, one at home. That one against the Baltimore Ravens on August 24th. Down to the ice, UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena adds Griffins in the AHL Central Division Finals. Griffins scored early in the first, about 5 minutes into the first period, 10 minutes after that.
Winners in the 3-1 series win against Rockford. Up the middle, here's a break for LaRue. LaRue shoots and scores! That is his sixth goal of the postseason! Who's having a better May than Zach
LaRue.
Yeah, that call, courtesy of AHL TV. I love hockey highlights because there's never been a hockey call, especially in the playoffs, that isn't super distorted because everyone's right. Screaming.
Overmodulated.
It's the best. Zach LaRue with the breakaway goal to tie it up 1-1, but the ads would eventually drop the first game of the best of five series. 4-2, game two this upcoming Monday at Panther Arena. And some sports briefs. After a whooping on the Pirates Wednesday afternoon, the Brewers are off today, heading to Houston to take on the Astros tomorrow. A three-game series begins tomorrow night. The PGA Championship at Valhalla Golf Club. Yes, in Louisville, Kentucky. Tiger is playing in this one, teeing just after 7 local time, coming off his Masters win, going for the first two major in a row. World number one golfer Scottie Scheffler teeing off at 1:13 local time.
6:18, Matt Arnold from the Brewers joins us for Brewers 360 at 7:45. Coming up before the bottom of the hour, this ship isn't even around, yet she continues to inspire Milwaukee sailors. That story next. Wisconsin's morning news, Vince Vitrano in New York. He did say he was going to try to swing by the courthouse there in New York to see if maybe he can spy the former president before the trial starts. We'll see if he gets lucky enough to do that. He's trying to pick up his daughter quickly, but he does have interest in the news, so we'll see. Michelle Richards is here. Thanks for coming in again, Michelle.
Of course.
For nearly two decades, the Dennis Sullivan schooner was docked outside Discovery World on the downtown Milwaukee lakefront, of course, until it was sold and shipped off to Boston a couple of years ago. But despite the ship's departure, she continues to inspire the next generation of Milwaukee sailors. Here's more from WTMJ's Adam Roberts.
Pier Wisconsin at Discovery World was the home for the Dennis Sullivan schooner from the mid-2000s until it was sold to World Ocean School in 2022. While several cruise ships and seagulls still dock at the pier, the Sullivan's over 25-foot-tall mast and 30-plus-foot-long hull are thousands of miles from home. Despite the Sullivan's move to Boston and the U.S. Virgin Islands, the home port painted on her stern still reads Milwaukee. So perhaps it's fitting that when the Sullivan was sold, a clause in the lease requires World Ocean School give Milwaukee area students the opportunity to learn and sail aboard the schooner.
I am Angelo Edwards. I am from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
My name is Peyton Washington. I'm also from Milwaukee.
My name is Leo Madsen, proud resident of West Dallas.
Angelo, Peyton, and Leo are three of those lucky sailors who each have their own unique reason why they were drawn to the water.
My grandfather is a sailor, so he owns boats and we would go out on his boats a lot.
Everything I do with my life kind of has to do with water. Like, I swim, like I've been swimming since I was before I was one. I've been swimming for so long, and then I'm a lifeguard, so kind of my whole life revolves around water.
The moment I realized that sailing was going to be a big part of my life was actually my second day of classes here at the Sailing Center.
All three say it was a patient and encouraging teacher that pushed them to stick with sailing for the long haul. Someone like Rachel Wetton. She's the Dennis Sullivan's deckhand educator.
I think for me, because I was on board a tall ship as a student at first, that I know what it's like to be there. And I didn't know anything about ships or sailing before I got on a tall ship. But the thing about tall ships is that they are really good teachers on their own. And they're really good at inspiring young people.
The students say leaving their comfort zone and traveling thousands of miles away was intimidating. In fact, Peyton says she originally was not planning to apply for the program at all.
I cannot thank my mom enough for giving me that push to do it because it's like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, genuinely. I just would have missed out on so much that I just didn't even know about.
So what are the chances the Sullivan could return to its home port? While World Ocean School CEO Eden Leonard says the Sullivan likely won't permanently return to Milwaukee, she does anticipate the ship will come back on a temporary basis in the future.
It's my personal ambition to ultimately get the boat here, you know, maybe once every 3 years or some sort of cadence when we get our other vessel back in the water to be able to make sure it actually physically has a presence here.
Until then, the schooner's legacy will live on through the lessons these young sailors bring back with them to Southeast Wisconsin.
That boat that I was standing on has been stood on by so many people before me who have done so many great things. And that boat has sailed in the harbor at my hometown. Really, really makes a difference. that I'm so connected to the history of a vessel which can bring so many people joy and excitement.
Adam Roberts, WTMJ News.
Good stuff there from Mr. Roberts. You can get more details, of course, from our online coverage. Just text the word SAIL, S-A-I-L, that version, S-A-I-L, to the WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620, the word SAIL, S-A-I-L, and we will send you all the information. Are you a sailor? Do you do that, Michelle?
No, but I wish I did.
Yeah?
It's one of those things.
I don't trust myself.
I had time and money and...
I don't trust myself to go on by myself. I'll go with my father. He sails a little bit.
Awesome.
But I don't trust it yet to be able to do that on my own. 626. Hey, a couple of things. One thing to be mindful of if you're going to be downtown today, later this morning. We do have the vice president coming back into downtown Milwaukee for another visit today. So this is her fourth visit to Wisconsin this year. Of course, we're campaigning. And she's going to land around 11-ish there at Mitchell, per the usual. They're going to be there. So around 11-ish, maybe a little bit after that. So you can anticipate some closures in the roadways from the airport to Milwaukee around that time. And one thing we should point out is that it is going to be like in the downtown Milwaukee area. For security purposes, they try to keep quiet on some of the specific locations. But we do know it'll be downtown proper, if you will. So something to be mindful of if you're going to be downtown later this morning. You can expect some closures and a lot of people showing up in one location, which will, of course, slow things some things down as well. Back to primetime, Packers fans. That story at 6:45. And they ain't got what we got. That old school love.
Oh, they never gonna have what we got. Is this it? The big song? The big single?
I guess so.
The big day is tomorrow for one of my favorite childhood bands.
Is that right? They're in your wheelhouse?
Yes. Love them.
Who are we
talking
about?
Back in 1994. The New Kids on the Block.
Oh,
dropping
okay.
A new album tomorrow.
And they're all like 50-something.
They're in their 50s. Their single that you just played is called Kids.
Okay.
And because right. They're 50... It's their first new album in 11 years. I guess, where was I 11 years ago that I didn't even know that they had a new album 11 years ago?
So they've already done this. They've already come back.
Yes.
And now they're coming back
in
again.
In 2013.
Okay.
So their album that drops tomorrow is called Still Kids.
Still Kids. All right.
They're hanging on to...
Is that a guilty pleasure band for you? You sound pretty proud of it, so I guess that's not really guilty pleasure then, huh?
No, I don't feel guilty at all for being in love with the New Kids when I was 14.
I don't know. Debbie, do you have one?
I got a couple. I got like Aha. I'm dating myself
that's
now.
That's an interesting
so,
guilty pleasure band.
Yeah, so... Yeah, and then the other one was Rush, but Rush is like, it's a classic, so you can't, you know, yeah, see,
yeah, I don't know.
Adam likes it.
I don't know if you can call that guilty pleasure,
yeah,
because
exactly.
They just are awesome.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I have one specific one, but just like mid-90s, like adult contemporary, like Sean Mullins or Sister Hazel or that kind of stuff, I could, if that was on, I'll listen to that all keep that on all day and I would listen to
100%.
It.
100%. I'm with you there, too.
Blues Traveler. Like,
yes.
Just like
County
those.
Rose.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too. Yeah.
Those silly, like, you know, mid-90s happy bands that never really made anything of themselves. Yeah. That's mine. Feel free to share on the WTMJ Talk and Psych sign your guilty pleasure band in honor of New Kids. 855-616-1620. It's 6:39. Thursday around this time, we like to celebrate ourselves an everyday hero. So an everyday hero is when we define someone and celebrate and honor someone who is an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they would be saving a life. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. Today, Michelle, we head to Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Shawl Elementary. It was lunchtime. It was loud. The third grade class was in there chowing down. And a third grade boy began choking on a piece of cheese.
He was sitting and his face was turning red.
That is 9-year-old Liam Doherty. He tells ABC 27 that a friend came up to him at the lunch table and said, "Hey, that kid over there is choking. And he knew immediately that something was wrong.
They said, he's choking. So then I realized my friend was choking. And then I just got up and did it behind him. And I did this. And then he just did this as he spit the cheese back out.
Yeah. So this little 9-year-old kid was able to help the young boy breathe again. He's doing fine. He saved the day, Liam did.
As third grade was coming out, I immediately heard that Liam had saved a student's life, sprung into action right in the moment before any adult even knew what was going on.
So that's Rich Tesurik. He's the school principal. Can you imagine that? Like, hey, Mr. T, guess what happened?
That's just incredible.
So he says this is new for him. A child saving another child's life at lunch or any time without even thinking about it. Never seen that before.
I've been a principal for 11 years and in the field for 20. I've never seen anything quite like that.
So little Liam was honored with a medallion for saving a life. How did he learn about the Heimlich? Where did it come from? Well, he said he saw it on TV. Thank you, Liam, for being an everyday hero. Need more like Liam. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Because temperatures are consistently well in the 70s now, why would we look forward to fall? Oh, because, of course, the Packers schedule has finally been released. Time to make those fall and winter travel plans. The Packers schedule is out. 9 games at home, 8 on the road.
The Packers begin the season Friday, September 6th in Sao Paulo, Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. 1 of 5 night games for the Packers on the schedule. The Packers will play 4 consecutive evening games, beginning Thanksgiving night at home against the Miami Dolphins, followed by a Thursday night matchup at Detroit in Week 14. In Week 15, the Packers visit Seattle on Sunday Night Football before returning home to host the Saints on Monday Night Football in Week 16. The Packers' home opener will be played in Week 2, Sunday, September 15th, a noon kickoff against the Colts. The bye week is set for Week 10. Greg Matzik, WTMJ Sports.
The Packers' lone home preseason game scheduled for August 24th against the Baltimore Ravens. The Brewers put a whooping on the Pirates on Wednesday afternoon, 10-2, 5 home runs hit in that game. Now, Joey Ortiz hit one of those home runs. Now, he has a tendency to chase pitches. Look, he made his debut in the Major League Baseball last year, so he's a young player. You can't blame him. But sometimes, manager Pat Murphy has noticed. So what's his coaching method to try to get to stop this?
You know, when he swings at a breaking ball in the dirt, I want to tase him. You know, I don't know if that's legal, but, you know, that just, he doesn't need to do that. But he...
Yeah, and that's one way to, you know, straighten out your player. Have a little zzz kind of in the dugout, right. Just sitting there in the background. Brewers off today. They head to Houston to take on the Astros tomorrow night. And a sports brief real quick. The Emeralds drop game 1 in the Central Division Finals against the Grand Rapids Griffins. 4-2 that score. Game 2 on Monday night at Panther Arena.
Hey, what's your guilty pleasure, Ben? We were talking about New Kids on the Block dropping a new album tomorrow.
So I'm the kind of guy to wear, like, Metallica shirts, Led Zeppelin shirts, but in my headphones, Alanis Morissette, baby. I am getting down. No shame. A little bit.
Excellent. All right. That's good guilty pleasure
right there.
6:49. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Very good. Hey now, Vince Petrano off today. Eric Bilstead along with Michelle Richards. Also joining us in studio, as always, on Thursdays, ESPN Milwaukee's Jen Latta from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Hi, Jen.
Good morning, guys.
So, Jen, the city of love will not be the city of love for Olympians. Coming up here, anti-sex beds apparently have arrived in Paris ahead of the 2024 Games.
What's an anti-sex bed?
So apparently, okay, so they're calling
a
it...
A lot of jokes could have been made right there, but go ahead.
Apparently, they're calling them... like environmentally friendly beds. So they're made out of cardboard. They're meant to be recyclable, but they can only support a certain amount of weight before collapsing.
Oh, so anti-sleep beds. They're made out of cardboard. That's wonderful.
That's perfect
for the
athlete.
Earth, but not for my back. Anti-sex beds. So you said it was the city of love, not love making though, huh?
No, no love-making.
None of that happening in the Olympic Village. Here's the thing about sex. you don't need a bed to get the job done. I don't want to sound like Bubba from Forrest Gump here, right? Mm. Remember when he was rattling off all of his mama's shrimp recipes? Mm-hmm. Shrimp gumbo, shrimp yeah. salad. Yeah, I mean, you could have floor sex, closet sex, chair sex, roof sex, just hallway sex. Like, I don't know what they're thinking here. If someone wants to do the deed, they're going to find a way, regardless of the stability of the bed.
My question is, why does this matter? We've often heard that the Olympic Village can be a little hot. So who cares? Why is this even a thing? Why do we care if the athletes enjoy themselves?
Well, I think it's probably for, you know, communicable diseases and the passing of from one person to another. Right. But they famously have handed out prophylactics right. in the Olympic Village mm-hmm. to try to at least encourage people to practice safe sex when they are there. I just don't think that making the bed uncomfortable for high performance athletes is a win-win. Like, you think, what? Oh, so we got them. They're not going to have sex, but they're not going to sleep either. Won't that affect the performance? And isn't yes. the goal of your Olympic team to have them put their best foot forward? I just don't think that, like, to me, this is short-sighted. You're quote unquote solving one problem that you're not really solving. Cause again, people are going to do it.
Right, sure.
But you're also potentially impacting or compromising their athletic ability. And like, to me, it's like, that's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Let them bang.
Well, these are twin size beds. And, you know, I'm thinking like the basketball players, they're not even going to fit on these beds.
Right. That's true.
Well, yes. They're not even going to be in the Olympic Village. Probably. They probably got some nice spot. I mean, some of those athletes get nicer accommodations, don't they?
Than others. Sure.
Yeah.
Even a tiny person would not be comfortable in a twin bed.
And the bed will break if it's so heavy. Is that the idea?
Yeah, it's like 440 pounds. But so, I mean, there's theoretically.
Two of me. You get two of me in there. Bed's doing just fine. You know, I just think, again, like, it's funny. It's funny to talk about. It's funny to make jokes about. But from a practical standpoint, there's no way that this is going to work.
Yeah, I don't like it, too. Especially if you got to... sleep is one of the most important things for any athlete, especially this is the creme de la creme. This is what they've trained forever for.
Hey, sometimes you got to blow off a little steam.
Yes, there's also that. Right? In the closet or in the hallway or who knows
where. Stairwell, in the roof, in the park, in the shower. Got a long list here if you guys need it.
No, we got to write some of these down. ESPN Milwaukee's Jen Latta. Thank you, Jen.